bless you all this morning. I just welcome you in the house of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. And just have a visitor here. So Lord bless you and hope you feel very welcome. I believe your name is Toya. Is that correct? Welcome. So we just bow our heads in a word of prayer this morning. Precious Jesus, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, with, Lord, humble hearts, Lord, and just say thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace unto us this morning, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would take every thought of distraction, Lord, and Lord, just draw us closer to yourself, Lord, that we might focus our whole heart on you this morning, Lord, as we praise you and worship you, Lord, and bless those that might be joining in, Lord, by internet or whatever these things are, Lord. We just commit it all into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we just stand and sing Higher Ground, I believe it is.
I'm pressing on the upward, new heights I'm gaining every day, praying and
higher.
doubt that's your desire this morning, for Him to plant us on higher ground. Let's sing in the sweet, sweet by and by.
There's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see the far, all the far.
Be too long yet. We'll sing number 160. Time is filled with swift transition.
Time is filled with swift transition. No longer than can thank you.
We could sing the chorus again, but we won't. We'll sing number 119, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We'll just sing another one, and then I'll ask Sister Mill and Sister Shirley if you would bring your song. I wasn't too sure if there was any more items this morning. So we'll just do that. And we'll sing number 292, I believe it is. I have a song that Jesus gave me.
My heart there.
your sisters.
Was a little maid on a ranch way out there. She didn't look real modern like cousins in their bed. She had to work for her living, toil and work all the time. And oh, so tired and weary, she kept the sword in mind. Oh, what's that I see coming down the dusty road? It looks just like that buckboard coming to take me home. He promised me he'd come for me. I believe it all along. That long wait's almost over. Real soon now I'll be gone. The man that passed away, he came trembling from the east. He came searching for a little bride to take with him to a marriage feast. He found in her a character that suited him quite well. And he promised her he'd return for her to a mansion to go and dwell. Oh, what's that I see coming down the dusty road? It looks just like that buckboard coming to take me home. He promised me he'd come for me. I believe it all along. That long wait's almost over. Real soon now I'll be gone. Days turned into the weeks. The weeks turned into months. Months turned on into a year. She didn't waver, no, not once. Her cousins all around her laughed and made such fun of the thought that he'd return for her. Oh, we know that won't be done. Oh, what's that I see coming down the dusty road? It looks just like that buckboard coming to take me home. He promised me he'd come for me. I believe it all along. That long wait's almost over. Real soon now I'll be gone. Now the long wait's almost over. Her heart is beating fast. Signs he told her to watch for are taking place at night. She knows that soon she'll be on her way with the bridegroom there to be. To go to that mansion he is prepared to live eternally. Oh, what's that I see coming down the dusty road? It looks just like that bridegroom coming to take me home. He promised me he'd come for me. I believe it all along. That long wait's almost over. Real soon.
Real soon now I'll be gone. Amen.
Just on the notices, there's the afternoon service at 1 o'clock, and there will be a luncheon, and also the 7 o'clock prayer meeting on Tuesday night. Now, there was no new prayer requests on the internet, but I'm going to ask Brother Lee if he would take these, if he could, and if there was any request this morning from the congregation at all, or... Yep, well, he knows where that is.
Amen. Ashby at Bunnings. We haven't seen him for a few months, and someone told us that he's had a really bad back, but we saw him this morning. And I said, we're going to pray for you at church this morning, Ashby.
There you go, and we're going to do that now.
Amen.
Is there any others?
And Ray Chaffee, our mate Ray Chaffee from Tukumori Pai, he had his... he had his leg amputated this week. He's about 86 or something. Just pray for him.
Any others? Unspoken?
You know, we talk about in these songs, we sing about it in the songs, if we've got a prayer need, what a friend we have in Jesus. Yeah. But how often do we not uphold our part of the bargain and ask the Lord to undertake for us because we have this need or that need or someone else has a need? But if we've been hearing of recent times, the thing is we need to love our Lord and tell him that we love him first and foremost. And in that way, I came here this morning, and as I usually do on a Sunday morning, and it was nice. But you know what? When all you folks got together and started singing and uplifting your voices to praise our Lord, it just lifts the whole thing. And just consider the people that listen through here, and that could be 1,000 plus, more, and they can be uplifted too by our input. So we will pray for these people. I didn't write them down, or didn't have a pen or a paper, but the Lord knows. And whatever your private need is, your personal request to him, the Lord knows about it. And you know what? He wants to hear from you, even if it's only in your heart. Shall we pray? Precious, lovely Lord Jesus, we're such a privileged, privileged people to have Almighty God, the creator of heavens and earth and everything on it, and the weather and the seasons, and the fish and the birds and the animals and us. You made us too, Lord. And there's nothing that you don't know about us. You know everything. So we come to you, Lord, this morning and say thank you for undertaking for these needs. There was requests come out from the congregation, Lord, that had needs for some people, maybe some for themselves. So we just know that you have undertaken there and that you will do. You will answer every single prayer. And Lord, just be with the folks that join in the northern hemisphere as well as the southern hemisphere. Wherever they are, may they be uplifted because the Holy Spirit is the uplifter. We're so very grateful, Lord, for what you've provided for us, the prayers that you've answered in this previous week, month, year, whatever it is. And if we're happy because we love you, we are very, very happy. There's many people in this city alone, let alone the world, that know about Jesus but don't know Jesus like we do. We are privileged. We're no different from them, except you've made yourself known. Help those, Lord. There's some in my mind that I've been praying for that want to come to church, but when it comes to doing it, they don't. Lord, bless them, uplift them, encourage them, Lord, to come and have fellowship, because that's what we're meant to do, as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior Redeemer. We know that you're coming soon, Lord, and it's not just a saying, it's the truth. the way things are in this world, it won't be very long before our Lord Jesus comes on a white cloud to take his loving sons and daughters home, all because of what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Bless this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lee. Should we just sing number 115, Isn't He Wonderful?
Higher every day, and it's higher. Praise be to the Lord. We want to have a deeper walk with God in this generation we're living in. There's so many people are falling away, slipping away. The world's going backwards, spiritually speaking. And we need to get closer to God. Who believes that? Say amen. How much we need to get closer to God. And I just pray that He will bless us this morning and bless everyone that's listening, wherever they may be, whatever part of the world they're in. The Holy Spirit's in both places at all times, Yeah, so it's really good to have you all here today. And Sister Leah, it's good to have you back from Christchurch. My daughter's down there, you know. She's coming back today. Nancy's coming back today. And we just pray the Lord will bless her and keep her. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't He a wonderful Saviour? Who loves the Lord? Say amen. That's really wonderful. You know, as we said last week, we need to worship Him. We need to praise Him. We need to give Him glory. And our prime role on earth is to glorify God. That's what God gave you a voice for. That's what He wants us to do, is worship Him and praise Him. And I just pray that the Lord will speak to us through His word this morning. We welcome our sister here too that's come. God bless you. I haven't seen you before, but you're very welcome. Isn't it wonderful to come to the family of God and just feel free in the Lord? And so I just pray that God will bless us this morning. Last week we spoke about yokes. You know, yokes that bind people down. All sorts of things hold people down. And are bound by a yoke, and that yoke controls your life. Pulls this way, pulls that way. And how that's such a curse to people. Could be all manner of things. Could be somebody's been offended, and that yoke's bound you for years. But God wants to set you free, and it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing of God. You heard the service, Bill? You're in bed when you heard that service. Brother Bill's a fireman now, you see, and he overdid things a little. He forgot he was, I won't say how old he is, but anyway, he just got a bit worn out, but he was listening to the service, and I just think that's really wonderful that we can stay in touch in these things. So we spoke about the yokes, but there's another yoke, a special yoke, that's wonderful. It's called the Lord's yoke. And I'm going to speak about that. I have spoken that about before, but I just think it's really good to speak about it. We'll find out what the yoke is, and you'll see shortly. Let's stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, just for our reading this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. If you can't find it, look on the screen. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O God, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son." So how do we know Him? "And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." That's a wonderful revelation, isn't it? He is the revelation of God. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning. We thank You for Your precious word that is life to our souls, Your word. You said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'll, by the Holy Spirit, come into the service and reveal Your word to every heart, Lord. We haven't come here just to hear a sermon. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to my heart, Lord, and draw us closer to you. We commit this word into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Wearing the Lord's yoke. Now, each one of us are absolutely accustomed to carrying heavy burdens right from birth. Can you say amen? Well, someone does. Burdens are frequent. There's probably people had burdens yesterday, have a new set today, and so on. It's just the way it is at the moment with life. But we have a burden bearer.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we want to speak about that. The Bible says in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And I'm sure that we all can identify with Job on that. That even though we've come into this world, it's only of a few days. I'm starting to realize how life's so short. I was a teenager not long ago, brother. Not long ago, I was a teenager. Seriously, I'm not joking. Who was a teenager not long ago? Brother, we're all just teenagers. Now we're not sort of limping around so much, but, you know, I'm 70 in 2 years. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. I don't feel 70. But, however, the Lord is my strength, and he's my sustainer. Praise be to God. So, our Lord and Savior has made provision for those that love him and trust him. Even though we come to this world full of trouble, we have someone we can trust in. Now, in the beginning, man opted for the burden of sin, not fully realizing it, right from the Garden of Eden. And with sin comes great burdens. Sin always carries a burden. When the devil shows you something that's sinful, it may look very glamorous, but I'm telling you, it's got poison in the apple. It's got something in there that's going to trouble you and bother you. It'll follow you around. Just remember this, young folks. You know, sometimes people get attracted to this temptation and that temptation. Just remember, it's got a bite to it. You may not notice it, but it stings you badly. Sin has a consequence. And the Bible says that we actually receive wages for sin. You ever think of that? You sin, you're going to get a wage package. And the wage package, according to the Bible, the wages of sin is death. That's the truth. That's what God said. I'm not here to say what I think. I don't want to be here to say what God thinks. No, it says, and it's true. What his words are, they're truth. He is the truth. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and it has many burdens that come with it. But in the beginning, it was not so. From the Garden of Eden, it was not so. Man had a glorious fellowship in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says the Lord came down in the cool of the evening and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And it was a wonderful time. There was no sin involved. It was just purity. What a wonderful place. And we're going back to that. Hallelujah. We're going back to that experience where there's no sin anymore. It's been dealt with. And the Heavenly Father watched over them day and night in the Garden of Eden. And you know what? He's watching over his children today. Do you know God is watching over you every day? Who believes that? Say amen. Sometimes you don't even think, oh, God doesn't watch over me. Hey, you could have been killed yesterday and God stopped it. And you don't even know about it. He's watching over us. We don't even realize the things that are happening. But he's with us. Hallelujah. Who loves him? Say amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't leave me in the dark. Listen, rejoice in the truth of God's eternal word. He is there to watch over us. And he came down in the cool evening for fellowship. And you know what? He still longs for fellowship with you. God is wanting fellowship with you. God needs you. Let that sink down deep. God needs you. He made you. Because you're a part of him. And like any father wants fellowship with the children, God wants fellowship with you. So, brother and sister, we need to get into a place where he can feel comfortable. We don't want to be dabbling in sin. He won't want to be there. God's a holy God. And so we see the Lord suffered greatly and longed when the children of Israel, Adam and Eve were cut off in the Garden of Eden. The Lord suffered greatly and longed for reconciliation to his family. God wanted to be connected again with his children, but the sin was there. And a holy God cannot mix with sin. Cannot do it. Cannot do it. He's a holy God and he cannot interact with sin. I'm sorry, he cannot do it. Always remember that. So the Lord never wasted time. Already had an offering was made to cover their sins. And by the Lord providing an innocent animal sacrifice for their sins, and it just covered their sins, and God was able to come and talk to them because of the sin offering that was given. So sin has left its mark on mankind. It's left a terrible mark on man. We can see it. Just look around. Every time you get pricked by a thistle, just remember, it's a mark from sin. You know, God cursed the ground. It was cursed because of sin. And we got thorns and briars and everything else and blight and everything and sickness and all those things started to come upon the world because of sin. Sin has consequences. Let's say it. Sin has consequences. Brother and sister, we can't get away from it. And when we realize it, we're very careful how we live. And we all suffer today as a result of sin in Eden. But glory to God, there's coming a day. Hallelujah. There's coming a day when all that has been dealt with. Who's looking forward to that? You know, brother and sister, this is why I come to church for. Not to sing. I love singing. Not for the music, I love music. I love all those things, and I love you. But brothers and sisters, we're coming to get closer to God and to get rid of the things in our life that are hindering our fellowship with God. Now, we see that there's coming a day, and man was never designed to carry burdens. From the beginning, it was not so. Man was to enjoy life to the fullest. God wanted you to be happy, and God still wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a good life, and he doesn't want you to be burdened. Now, perfect fellowship with God and unhindered and blessed, that's what he desires. Do you know what, brother and sister? I'm not a doctor. But do you know the human body is taxed with burden? And it's been actually scientifically proven that we are not designed to carry worry and burdens. You are not designed to carry it. It's even been proven that sickness can be brought on by worry. We all know that. And joy and gladness have exactly the opposite effect. Isn't that wonderful? Who loves the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
You know, when you start praising him, you're going to feel better straight away. I'm telling you, this is not psychology. This is facts. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So, brother and sister, there's very clearly in the Bible, there's other scriptures, of course, and that in itself proves that we're never intended to carry burdens. So it comes to this. We all need a burden bearer. You're going to need one. One that is able to carry all of our burdens. Not some of them, all of them. Praise the Lord. And we have been given a burden bearer. God, who is rich in mercy, sent his only begotten Son to take our burdens. What a wonderful Savior. And how did he do this? By dealing with the sin question. God can only take away your burdens by dealing with the sin question, which separated us from God and all of God's benefits. It separated us from him. So how did he deal with our sin, which we inherited in Eden? Because you were born in sin. You see, when you were born, you didn't become a sinner. No one here became a sinner. You were born one. The Bible says you're born in sin. shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. That's what the scriptures tell us. So we can't, God doesn't hold that against you for being a sinner. That's true. But he has some issues with you not accepting the way out. So we inherited this. And our Heavenly Father came down in human flesh in Jesus Christ, his Son. And he wonderfully and graciously, willingly took our sins upon his precious body. He took every sin that you committed from the day you're born to the day you die. He took every one of them upon himself. And he paid for our sins in full. He paid the price for your sins and for my sins. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission of sins without the shedding of innocent blood. And Jesus Christ had innocent blood. How do we know? He was born of a virgin. His father was God, not Joseph. The Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and the blood of God was put in there. And when Jesus came forth, it was God manifest in the flesh with God's blood. Hallelujah. And that precious blood was shed at Calvary for you and I. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I receive this. I want to accept this blood covering. Lord, that's all I want is you. And if you receive it, you are forgiven the second you do it. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to go around being some great person or being good to the neighbor and chopping the wood. You know, those things are wonderful, but that will never save you. Coming to church will never save you. You've got to receive Jesus Christ. You've got to receive him as your personal Savior, that he took your sin and say, Lord, I receive this offering that you have offered to me. I gladly receive it now. Hallelujah. It says in the Amplified Bible of Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is neither release from sin and its guilt, nor the remission of the due and merited punishment for sin. So there's three things took place. You're released from sin and its guilt. It's terrible to be guilty. You're guilty of it. Nor the remission of the due and merited punishment. See, that without there's a judgment that comes, the wages we spoke about. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ took those wages and he died at Calvary. He died for you. Don't you love him? Say praise the Lord. Aren't you so glad to be saved? You know, you've got to know you're lost. When you know you're lost, then you appreciate the Savior. When you know that you've got a burden, then you can give it over to the Lord. Praise God. We're coming to that. Which we all know is death and the punishments of sins, I said, and it's only way that Jesus could redeem us was to die by shedding his own sinless precious blood and to rise again. He didn't stay dead, he rose again, which gives us resurrection and total victory over Satan. Total victory over the devil. We have power over Satan and all his evil works through Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary. He's the resurrection and the life. He conquered death. He conquered all those things for me. Hallelujah. I love him, don't you? You need to tell him, as Brother Lee or somebody said, he wants to hear from you. Might have been Brother Lee, was it? Okay. Doesn't matter who said it, it's the truth. God wants to hear that you love him. You imagine a girl and boy going out together and they love each other and they sit on a bench out by the park, then sit there. And never say a word. Something wrong. Could you imagine them doing that? Is that how you treat your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife or whatever? No, you tell them, I love you. And if you love the Lord, you need to tell them regularly. Every day. I love you, Lord. With all my heart. So we got the victory.
Amen.
So what has the burden bearer offered us? He said he'll take our burdens. He knows that our burdens are too heavy to carry. God knows these things. I love what Jesus said. Know you not that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things? Isn't that a wonderful scripture? The Lord said, the Heavenly Father knows that you have need of food, you have need of clothes, you have need of shelter, and you need a sin bearer. He knows that. So God's not ignorant. Goodness, no. There's great intelligence. He knows everything about everybody right here. He knows what you're thinking, and he's always knowing it. And I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does. Hallelujah. He knows that the burden is too heavy for us, and that is why he said to each one of us in Matthew 11:28, we say, read again, come unto me all ye, that's everybody, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not lying down on a bed. It's a greater rest than lying on a bed. This rest is a peace of soul. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Bill?
Yep.
When you lay your head on the pillow, there is a peace that passes all understanding. It makes you cry. It makes you laugh. It makes you rejoice. However it affects you, it's peace. Who wants this peace? Well, we're here to speak about the burden bearer. And he says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's why he recommends you take him. Hallelujah. Who would like to receive this wonderful offer today? You'd all like to. Who wants to be free today? And not just in church, when you go out and go home and you still feel that freedom. It's a reality to know the Lord. I just want to lay my burdens down at the Savior's feet. The yoke of the world, the yoke of living for ourselves. You know, we spoke about the yokes last week, the bad yokes. The yokes of living for ourselves. The yokes of all our heavy yokes. Yokes of condemnation. Yokes of doubt and fear. Yokes of unbelief. They're all horrible things that pull you down and bind you and control you. You'll see why yokes control you in a minute. Our burdens can become very heavy and almost unbearable. Do you agree? Oh, I've had a burden so unbearable. I thought, Lord, when's this going to cease? He says, cast your burden upon me. Cast all your cares upon me, for he careth for you. The cares means anxiety and stress. Cast them onto the Lord. Give them over to God, to the burden bearer. Our burdens become very heavy. And our precious Lord is giving you and I this offer. Not some of us, but all of us.
Amen.
We can be free. And tell you what, when we're free, we'll start shouting and praising God. We're not just coming, I'm shouting because Mary's shouting or John's saying hallelujah. No, no, you're shouting because you're free. You know you're free. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise be to God. Our burdens become very heavy and unbearable, but the Lord wants to give it to you. It's a free offer to all that are laboring and are heavy laden. You cast all our burdens at the foot of the cross. We cannot carry both yokes. We talked about the first yoke yesterday, last weekend, the yokes of distress and condemnation and those yokes. And someone's offended you and you've carried that for months and years. You've never given it to God. And it bothers you for all that time. It's not that sort of yoke. It's a different yoke. Praise be to God. And you know what? There's only room for one yoke. You cannot have the yoke of all these other things and the Lord's yoke. You'll see in a minute. So how do we wear the Lord's yoke? We wear his yoke by receiving his total forgiveness. He said, if you confess your sins, this is wonderful, if you confess your sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all A-double-L unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Every sin, every evil thought, every unclean thing you've done can be forgiven if you give it to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we have a Redeemer. And so we're letting go of the old and receiving this new life. This old man was buried and we rise in newness of life. So he said, come unto me all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, just was a little thought about the yokes. The yoke, I'm sorry I can't put it on the screen because Nancy's not here. She's an expert at putting these things on the screen. I was a bit slow. I probably could do it if I had a bit more time, but I can do it actually, but I just don't want Paul to be confused, switching backwards and forwards. Wasn't I good, Paul? So I put it on my little tab. So you know what we're talking about. A yoke takes two things. It takes the Lord and it takes you. And that's what it looks like. That goes on a cattle beast. Can you see that all right?
Yep.
See, that is a yoke. One cow goes in there, or one bull or bullock or whatever, and the other one goes in there. And they are bound together. Now, that's really important. They are both bound together. So we see here, it's important. Now, I'll just give you an example how they wear the yoke. There's the two cows. I think the cows are bulls or whatever they are, but anyway, the two beasts. And see how they're both wearing the yoke? Can you see that all right, Nico? And that is those two animals go with each other. If one goes this way, the other one has to go that way. If this one goes that way, the other has to go this way. So we see that these represent the yokes being used. Now the yoke is for the Lord's yoke. He's got one and you're wearing the other part. And wherever he goes, you go. Isn't that wonderful? And you can't go, you can't just take him anywhere because he's going to come to. You can't take him into a sinful situation. He's not going to go there. No, he's a holy God. And brothers and sisters, these things are very real to me. I'm starting to realize how important it is when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He has a yoke. And we see that that's how we are joined to Christ. The two become one. Christ and you become one. Isn't that wonderful? And there's a responsibility when we wear his yoke. But it's easy, and the burden is light. It's not a big, difficult thing in the sense of carrying a burden. It's not, he said, his burden is light. And why is it light? Because he's walking with us. He's got one part of the yoke, and you've got the other. And when you get into a bad situation, you're feeling really burdened, you can't handle the problem, you're going down, he just, in his power, just pulls up on that yoke and he gives you a lift. Isn't that wonderful? Say, praise the Lord. He lifts the burdens. Lifting our burdens at Calvary. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. He lifts us and he carries us because we're wearing his yoke and he's with us. Hallelujah. So we just say, we don't just say, Lord, take this my burden and move on our merry way. No, no, no. You can't because he's coming with you. So you see, there's a responsibility as well. We've entered into this wonderful covenant with him. Not only that, where he leads, I will follow. We sing that song, where he leads me, I will follow. Where God leads you, you follow him. Because you yoke to him. If you truly yoke to him, you go where he goes. We only go where Christ is happy to be. We only speak that which Christ is happy to speak. We only see what Christ is happy to see. If he doesn't want to see it, you know, I've said to people, they say to me, oh, Brother Howe, it's okay to watch this, watch that. I said, do a self-test. If you're watching something on a video or whatever, you're wondering, oh, should I be watching this? Here's a self-test. Would you be comfortable If Jesus came and sat down next to you and watching what you're watching, that's your test. Because we are yoked to him. Praise the Lord. He said, take my yoke upon you. Upon you, you're wearing it. The yoke and Christ and you are all one. Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, hallelujah. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You talk about oneness. We are absolutely connected to him. Ephesians 5:30. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. And Paul says here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Isn't that wonderful? We become one with him. We don't just go to church. Oh, we go to church Sunday today. We've got to go to church. It's more than that. When you become connected to Christ and you become one with him, wherever he leads you, you will follow. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We're not designed to carry the yoke alone. The yoke to Christ, and he takes us takes our burdens and cares. Here's a scripture I read quoted before in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourselves. Oh, that's important. You know, brothers, if you can't humble yourself, you're wasting your time. Seriously, big time. You've got to humble yourself and become a nothing. As Charles Spurgeon said once, it's a good thing to get down and to meditate and to think about. I think, here he goes, what's he going to say? You need to sit down and think about your nothingness. You are nothing without him. It's a really good thing to do daily. I realize it every day. I really do. I'm a nothing without him. And even with him, I'm a nothing. But I've got his yoke on me. So we see, 1 Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. This is why the yoke does. The yoke takes all the care from you onto him. For he careth for you. The Amplified Bible says it like this. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. That's good theology. You know, to cast all our worries, all our anxieties, all our concerns, once and for all, onto him. For he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. God's watching your every step, everywhere you're going. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what you're going to face in a month's time. God is fully aware of that, and he wants to help you. But you've got to be connected to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he says. In Psalm 55:22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast it, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful, beautiful. The truth is, Jesus took all the weight of our sin upon himself. He took it all at Calvary. But we must be willing to surrender all of it to him. You know, some people say, I can surrender this, I can surrender this and that, and I can surrender this and I can surrender this, but oh, not this one. Oh, no, this is very important to me, Lord. It's like people say the Lord can come into their heart. And they say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. Every part of my heart's yours. Take it all, Lord. Oh, Lord, there's one room, sorry. There's a door over here, and you'll notice on the top it says private. Please don't go in there. It's no good. He wants all rooms. He wants all of your rooms. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of your desires. He wants all of your ambitions to be on him. And brother and sister, I've found that to be an absolute truth. 95% surrender is not good enough. 99% is not good enough. The Lord Jesus only wants 100% of you, then he can really bless you. He can really bless you when you do that. So we must be willing to surrender all to him, our fellow burden bearer. You have to. If you're in the yoke, you've got to go with him. You've got to make that choice. Who will you serve today? This day I will serve the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve, the Bible says. You've got to make up your mind, brother and sister, not serve the church, not serve the pastor, not serve this brother or this or that. That's good. They're all good things. But you've got to serve the Lord. You've got to surrender totally to him. That's what he's looking for. The truth is Jesus took all the weight of our sin upon himself. And he is with us through every trial and every testing and every fear. Every fear you have, he's with you. Even in this greatest stress. So where's God? Where's God? He's there. God regulates the trial. God controls the testing. He's in control of your life. He knows how much you can bear. He knows how much you can take. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And correcteth those he loves. So, brothers and sisters, you've got to remember, walking with the Lord is not walking on the highway day and night. No, no, sometimes he takes you down through the valley. As we sing, the God of the mountains is also the God of the valley. And brothers and sisters, you've got to understand that he knows everything about you. He knows the problem in your life. He knows where it is, and he knows how to put his finger on that problem. And he knows just how hard to press. Help you. His whole intent is to see you at the wedding supper. He wants all of us seated at that wedding supper. Who wants to be there? Are you willing to surrender all to him? Are you willing to take his yoke upon you and become a part of him? Where he leads me, I will follow. It's really wonderful. For we are knitted together with him. We've taken the yoke of Christ unreservedly. Then we're not just knitted to Christ, but we are all and part of the same yoke. Knitted together. We read the scripture. Fully knitted, integrated with him. We become him until the works that he does, we will do also. The same works that Jesus Christ did, we will do because he is controlling us. Who believes that? If we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says you need the mind of Christ. You'll think like he does. You'll have the same compassion he does. You'll have the same love as he has, the same humility as he has. And then when you speak, he'll stand behind it. Because he'll keep his word. Whatever he said in his word, he will follow it up. So these things are really wonderful, aren't they? It's up to you, brother and sister, to become part of this. You can't learn it from me, from the church, or anyone else. You've got to say, Lord, I want to take this yoke upon me, your yoke, and to learn of you. And your burden is easy, and your burden is light, rather. And brothers and sisters, it's really wonderful to be knitted, completely knitted together in love. We're not under obligation to the Lord. We love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Whatever he says in his word, you are willing to do. No questions asked. I had heard a really wonderful testimony just the other day. It was sent to me. Sister Biscoe. You remember Sister Biscoe? She's been here. She's played that piano. And she said when she was a little girl, God came to her in a very wonderful way. She was only 6. And then she became 9, and She loves skating. Oh, she's got to skate. Oh, everything was skating, skating, skating. Because they live up in Canada where it's cold. And there's always a lot of ice around. She became quite a good little skater. The pastor came up to, now I'm talking about the yoke. The pastor came up to one day and said to her, Sister Ruth, that's her name, do you think it's quite right, you as a Christian, wearing all that gear and the skating thing and, you know, going skating, do you think that's what a Christian girl should be doing? And she said, she quit instantly. She said, it was no problem whatsoever. I just wanted to please him. And that was it. She didn't have to put on all those tight clothes and things. She was free. And brother and sister, if there's anything that you're convicted about, you should really seek the Lord about it. God doesn't bring conviction for nothing. If he tells you that you should quit something, you should quit it. Because the yoke's pulling this way. You know, I said about the cow that last week. He sees a beautiful daisy down there, one cow in the yoke. The other one's here, and he sees the daisy. He says, I must go and get that daisy. He goes down to get that daisy, and the other cow pulls them away from it. And sometimes, brother and sister, you want to do something so badly. You want to do it, but the yoke's saying, come this way, my child. He said, when he sends the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll lead you. God doesn't shove you around. You've got to do this, you've got to do none of that. It's all by love. If you love him, you'll obey him. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. So when God leads us, we may be going down a road and we get lured away by friends or influencers to tell us, come this way. You need to come, you'll enjoy this, come along this. And something in there says, I don't know. I just don't feel good about it. Just stay on the line. Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. You go this way and you're going wrong, he'll guide you back. He'll pull you back because he's leading us. God's not shoving. God never shoves you. He leads you. Who wants to be led of the Holy Spirit? May he lead us daily. So, brother and sister, we see the hour we're living in, an hour of great deception. I don't want to go down that road because it upsets me somewhat. We're living in a world of ungodliness. The churches are dead. I'm serious. Brothers and sisters, not all churches are dead, but I'm just saying there's a lot of things that aren't right. People have lost their way. They've moved away from the gospel of the Lord. They've moved away from the scriptures. They've moved away and chasing all sorts of fantasies. But let us stay close to the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain. And brothers and sisters, if you feel God is calling you to wear the yoke, say, Lord, I want your yoke. I want to wear it. I want to be connected to you. When I'm connected to you, I'm connected to your word. And whatever your word says, that's what I'm willing to do. And God's coming for yoked fellows. People that are yoked to him. He's not coming for people that argue with him or fuss. They'll be like Sister Biscuit, just willing to do it. I just want to do it. And she said, you know, the things of the world, she said, they just didn't bother me. She said, I just didn't want it. She said, I just didn't have any calling for that. I just want to walk with God. Who wants to walk with him? Amen. Shall we stand to our feet, brothers and sisters, have prayer? Praise the Lord. Where he leads me, I will follow. Praise be to God. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come to thee this morning. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the encouragement we get from thy word. Lord, you said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Lord, we want to do that this morning, Lord. We don't want to just say it. We want to mean it with all our hearts. Lord, I cannot put sincerity in anyone's heart. I cannot even do it of myself. It's by the will of God, Lord, by God that you have allowed us to abide in you, to abide in the vine, Lord, and to have that peace and the tranquility of fellowship with you as Adam had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Lord, you're restoring us back to that. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll minister to every person here. Lord, just help us, Lord. Help us each one to dedicate ourselves to thee. Oh, Lord, it's just so good to know you. I love you and I feel your presence here, Lord. I appreciate you being here. I pray, Lord, that hearts will not escape your love. The love of God will constrain us to wear the yoke, your yoke, Lord, and to walk in the light of thy word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing that wonderful song. Where he needs one. What's the number, James? Just get the number, brother. Peter, that's beautiful. Hallelujah. Two, five, four, Brother Paul of the Restoration. Do you hear God calling you this morning? You say, I don't hear his voice. Oh, yes, he's got a voice. I'll tell you what. The voice to the heart is a lot stronger than the voice, audio voice, you could hear from God. Many people heard the voice of God and done nothing about it. But when he speaks to your heart, says, I'm calling you, I want you to be free. I want to set you free. I want you to take my yoke upon you. Then he will bless you. And he's calling. He's calling. Is anybody here feel God calling them? Just come forward here to the altar. We'll pray with you. And God will bless you and give you the desires of your heart. But he is calling. He wants to give you his yoke. He wants you to wear his yoke that you may be free and led by the Holy Spirit in days to come. I can hear my Savior calling. I can take my Brothers and sisters, it's not a rose garden. It's not a rose garden. It's Gethsemane. You better have your Gethsemane too. Jesus' greatest trials were in Gethsemane. He knew what was coming. He knew he'd be parted from the Father. His Father deserted him because he became sin for you and I. Brothers, if you know God is speaking to you, why don't you make this choice? That's just the ones we pray for. Brother Lee, would you like to just come now, brother, and just while I just sing this verse again? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go. Encourage anybody else, just feel free to come.
Second verse came, and I was thinking the very same thing, in the very same words as he said. It, in the garden, it wasn't a rose garden. And what our Lord had to face for you and me, every one of you, and in fact, it was the whole world that our Lord died for. And it's only those that are going to take it up that are going to have that eternal life. He loved us so much. And as Howard also said, he knew what was coming. The Lord did. He knew what was going to happen. And he asked his heavenly Father, God himself, take this cup from me if it be your will. But I will go through with it if you wish me to. And he did. Let's, as we sit there and sing, let the Lord have his way, number 99 in the Restoration Book. Let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. There's no rest. There's no peace till the Lord has his way with the yoke on you and I. That our way out is through Jesus. You are the only outlet that we have, and you made yourself available by taking our sin and iniquity, all of it, not just 99%. You took it all, Lord Jesus. We're so very grateful that you don't accuse us of all the sin and all the bad things we've done over the years, and Satan says, oh, you did this, you did that. God says, what are you talking about, Satan? I died for those sins and those iniquities. Lord, just bless the people that listen in on the internet, Lord, and the CDs at their time of listening. Wherever they are, may they be uplifted, Lord, as we feel your Holy Spirit uplift us here today. It's not just a duty, not just an exam we go through. It's actually knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody can have that if they wish or desire to take on that yoke and to walk with the Lord. Lord, we are grateful for the service today. We ask that you be with us for the afternoon service at 1 p.m., Lord. Be with the luncheon we're about to have and the fellowship with each other, and may we just continue and feel your presence. We ask these things in your name, and we thank you for the food that you have provided for us, and be with us all as we consider the things that have been spoken of this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.